So, the young man, while looking over, that he never see and never been into a house of that kind, such a pretty house. Everything was golden inside. So while he was sitting there, this young lady says, "Now, you remember what I've told you?" He says, "Yes." "You is mine and me is yours. You found me. And everything belonging to me is yours. And my stable, and my little pet dog, and this bird here. Now, what is your intention? Are you going to remain with me here at my own home, or are you going to return?" The young man, he studied for quite a while, and he answered. He said, "Yes, I'd rather return home. For one reason, we sailed from my home town, or my people, and I left my brothers with a guarantee that they guarantee me that they'll wait for me. It doesn't matter how long I'm gone, but they'll wait until I return. Fulfill my understanding with them. If I don't, on my return home, it'd be too bad and too sad for my father and mother. So I'd rather, at this time, return." So this young lady in answering into that, "All right, but you shall not return, remember, without me. I must go, you must take me along. This is the biggest discovery of anyone. You're not the only one, but you're the successful one. My bird is the one that goes out. See if I can be able to get anyone who will find me. And you're the first successful one that's found me. A lot of them has tried before. So, without making any further answer, the young fellow says that, you heard what I said, I was going back. But you're entirely welcome. With the words that you have spoken to me, that you shall return with me. But no other promises," says the young man. So they agreed on that. The young fellow says, "Be no promises until such time." That's it. So they got ready, she got ready, and she put on her clothes and got her suitcase and all fixed up with what to carry her clothes. Then they went to the stable, got the young man to lead the horse out, finest horse, the best horse, and they started down. I says, "I know just how you reach here. I know who may be waiting for you." So they went. Here was all Kingdom Jedi was still sitting there, so contented, knowing that his little grandson that he just met will make the success of his journey. When he got together, he saluted the young lady, or Kingdom Jedi did, and they walked down to the bank of this lake. The young man wondering in his mind as to how they're going to get this horse over. To ferry him across the lake, King of Genoa knew all the feeling of the young man. He patted him on the shoulder, says the grandson. He says, "Don't worry," he says, "we'll get over there." Well, they walked to the edge of the lake, or King of Genoa, he took half a dozen of cards, floated into the lake, and there was a great big boat. And they put the horse in, and no trouble for King of Genoa to get the horse in. Powerful man. Then all of them get on. He ordered his grandson and says, "You row on that horse and I'll row on this other." And they rowed across. Young lady was sitting behind. Got on the other side. And then they traveled. When they landed on the other side, King Isidore ordered his grandson, the young fella, and the young lady, put the horse out. King Isidore was the last into to get off of this boat. He kicked it off, was all floating, nothing but cards. Now, on that travel little race, and King of Genoa, he get his grandson in one side, and while they're traveling, and then they talked to him, told him. Now, he says, you will have trouble on our return. Everyone knew this young lady, but never one ever found her or ever reached her home. And this horse is one of the best horse that it's known on anywhere. And likely the head man, the chief of that population over here, that tribe, will naturally wanted to get a hold of this horse. And they maybe charge you for kidnapping this young lady with this horse. Yet, they'll scheme some way to get a hold of this horse and maybe this young lady. That may be the trouble that we're going to face. So now you must make this statement that you was with all the instructions to make this journey to meet this young lady and for this young lady to go with you to the country where that you belong. You did not come without any authority. While we'll be talking, and the other guards naturally will be trying to work to put us in bad, but you watch. If there's any movement any you made, you'll be ready. You must stand right alongside of that horse. And that lady, don't let that lady leave the saddle. Let her stay there while we'll have this, anything that comes up for any controversy. And when I say go, you want to go. Because they're going to get us. They'll try to get that lady and the horse. Then you want to make that horse run. I'll get you right on top of that, the ride behind the lady, and don't worry about me. So they were talking, then pretty soon these guards keep a gathering round. And old King of Genoa, he can read any person's mind, whether you're present or any distance. He knew what was coming, and the next was to take possession of the lady and the horse. So he, old King of Genoa, while he's talking, he says the young man, go. Told him in Indian word, not in English, but in Indian word, translating it, go. The horse was speeded right away. It started to run, and King of Genoa, he started to run right alongside our horse. So they went on, and they went quite a long race before these guards was coming behind them, chasing them with their horses. And they kept on, and the King of Genoa says to the young man, keep that horse a-going. Don't let them capture us, because it'd be just too bad for all of us. Keep it a-going. Don't worry about me. Faster the horse runs, faster all King of Genoa is running right alongside of him. Can't leave him behind. But kept on a-going, and they were getting closer and closer and closer to them. So, not only in the distance, but miles and miles. So when King of Genoa knew that this horse was kind of weak him down, and these guards was getting much closer to them, he says to the young man, his grandson, they're getting pretty close to us, but that does not worry me. When I was a young man, I was instructed by my father, my grandfather, in an old Indian way, to be educated in such a way. I did. I went out in the night, day, without eating here and there, until I finally mastered my schooling in the Indian way. When I mastered it, meet what I was looking for, through the instruction of my father, my grandmother, and my grandfather, when I come to it, I was mesmerized, was put to sleep. And I seen just everything was coming just white and just dark, just like cloud. But I meet the big heavy snow with the all these cotton blossoms and everything cotton was just flying all over. When I woke up, you couldn't see the daylight. That was one of my convictions in my schooling. Just the minute he got through, you could see the whole people just coming, and all those cotton, you know, was flying from all over the trees and the snow. Then these guards began to unhail them. A horse's guts, all stuffed up. Couldn't see what direction to go. Finally, they give up. King of Genoa says to his grandson, take it easy. They all went back. They give up. They quit. They couldn't make it. So they walked a ways. He says, now, says my grandson, I have passed my part of the country, my home, where I stayed, generally ruled now. But I wanted to talk to you. Your brother is very, very angry. You're going to have trouble with your brothers. Some cause will happen with you. They may kill you. That I couldn't say for sure. But anything happen, don't you forget me. Be sure and call my name, King of Genoa. I wish King of Genoa was here with me and be right there with you within a minute. Don't forget. If you forget, you'll lose your life. So he says, go on now. So he went on, continue. He got there, wasn't very far, and he got to where his brother is with the ship, and he seen him coming there with a horse and this lady, pull out the planks that they had, and they put the horse in. They get all of them got aboard. And the young fellow says to the oldest son, to the oldest brother, they took the lady and seated her up in one of the cabins. She sat there next to the window. And he says to his oldest brother, that lady, shall be yours. And the horse will be belong to you, as it's given to me by this lady. And this little dog, golden dog, will be belong to you, says to the third one. But this bird is mine. This is the bird that I look for that used to come in and take mother's berries. And this is the bird that I look for. And it made his brothers, you know, when he told his story, how he discovered, and how their efforts failed. But him, being the kid brother, he made this great discovery. And conquer this bird and this young lady. Then they got together and discussed the thing. The two younger brothers said, it's a disgrace, it's shame for us. We tried everything on our part. Now he says, we found this young lady, and no one know. We best get rid of him. We might as well kill him and leave him here. No one will know. We'll say that our father, we'll tell our father that he fell overboard and there was no chance for us to save his life. The older brother says no. He says, better not do that. Why? What more? What more do you want? Look at the horse. When did you see a horse of that kind? Now he gave me this lady. Still, I don't believe that I'm entitled to. He's entitled to. And that horse, the dog, but he wants the little bird in for himself. We better not do it. We should be proud of what he did as one in the family. But no, the two younger brothers says, younger than him, if you're going to take his part, he says, we'll take your life too. So they argued a while, finally, they determined that they weren't going to kill both of them. So this older brother, he made some suggestions. Now it's too cruel to kill him. I think if anything that you wanted to do to dispose of him, why not go to work and get some shovel and go up here at the high land and dig a deep enough on the ground and take a rope and roll him down there. Let him stay there and let him die by starvation. That would be my suggestion in duel with him. So they all agreed with that suggestion made by the older brother. He done that in order to save himself from the other two brothers. So they started back, and they had a rope with them. The young fellow was there. So while they were gone, this young lady, he called a young fellow to come to his side. So he did. She pulled out the ring that she's wearing, and he says, "Hand me your hand." He took that ring and he slipped it on one of the boy's fingers and just fitted him. "Now, I don't know whether I'll be able to see you again. That I don't know. I have some little hunch. But it says you keep this ring. This ring is yours." So he had the ring. By that time, he left this young lady. And these brothers came down, called him one side, but took him, told him what they're going to do with him. He said, "All right." So they took him up, tied him, told him, he says, "You take that rope off." So they lowered him down. He couldn't get out, no one way or the other. He stayed there. They went back to the boat and then they sailed away. And the young fellow, he stayed there for day and night, and day and night, and forgot all about old King of Genoa. Never thought about him till he got so weak that he couldn't hardly stand, and he couldn't go anymore than there so. So old King of Genoa had been trying his mind, trying to make him remember him. All at once, he was so weak, they couldn't hardly stand. When he fell down, he had a hard time to get up. He was trying to keep himself up. So once he thought about King of Genoa that early morning. He says, "Oh, I wish King of Genoa was here with me. How I forgot him. Just like a few minutes. King of Genoa was looking at him from above.